Okay, I think we're going to get started, Chevre. So welcome, everybody. I know I'm expecting a few other people in the shir today, but they may be held up. But we'll start anyway, and we'll see where it takes us. Great story, Sima, by the way. Awesome. okay, so we are holding in Torah Nun Vav, and we are a little ways into Siv Gimel. But we're going to start, of course, with a little bit of a review from the beginning quickly. So we said in the beginning, first the Pasuk of Bikurim, which we're going to come back to at the end. Then the Rebbe started by telling us that every Yid has a Bechina of Malchus. Every Yid has an aspect where they have authority and influence over people. For some people, that means I have influence over those in my household. Some people have influence or authority over more people. And other people, there's certain types of people who have influence over the whole world. Like the Pasuk, like the Pasuk in the Megillah, that Haman HaRasha said that every person should be served, Bebesai should lead his house. And then he brought another Pasuk from Yisrael, that Yisrael advised Moshe Rabbeinu that he should appoint different levels of leadership. Sorry, Alafim, sorry, Meis, sorry, Chamishim, and sorry, Asaris. Leaders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Then we said that aspect of leadership that we all have, that aspect of authority that we all have, we have it in the revealed realm and also in the hidden realm. And that means that in the revealed realm, we have a certain level of influence over the people that we see, right? If we're, maybe it's over our household, maybe it's over people in our office, whatever it is. But then beyond that, we also have influence over people that is in the hidden realm that we might not even know. We might not even know that we're connected to them. And the Rebbe explained that this level of influence comes from the fact that our souls are connected in a certain way. And wherever our souls are connected, if I have influence over someone, it's because their soul is underneath mine in the whole system. And so it could be that the things that I do have an influence on another person somewhere else in the world even, we're saying, which is an amazing idea. I remember, Agav, we saw one time in another Torah from Rabbi Nachman that there's this concept that you could do something and it could cause something good. You could learn some Torah, something like this, and it could cause someone on the other side of the world to suddenly have an inspiration and a thought of tshuva, right? So it's not only that we do things and we think the only thing that's happening is what's in front of our eyes, what we see here. Not only that, but we're affecting other things. Could be other people in the world. Could be other worlds, other universes. Amazing stuff. But it's totally hidden. Just like we said, this aspect of Avodah Zarah that we brought from a pasuk in Malachi that said, "B'chol makom muktar mugash l'shmi," that wherever, even the place where they're bringing Avodah Zarah korbanos, they're bringing sacrifices to Avodah Zarah, you know, on a very, very, very deep hidden level, even that is really to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They just don't know it. But so too, just to the same extent that someone could be bringing a korban to Avodah Zarah, and really it's meant for Hashem, and even though they don't realize it, on that same deep level, we can have a malchus, an authority, an influence over things, even on a level that we have no comprehension of, that we know no understanding of. And then we said that every person has to make sure that they, now that we have this malchus and that we're assuming we're using it, we have to make sure that we don't use this malchus for our own gratification and our own needs. Rather, the malchus, we said that the malchus has to be ben chorin, it has to be in a state of freedom. And then we said that's like Mordechai, and his name really from the Targum Onkelos, translating the word for frankincense in the Torah, Mardror, right, is really translated by Targum Onkelos as Maradachia, which is the letters Mordechai. And Mardror means Mar, Malchus, rulership, and Dror means freedom. We said that was Mordechai's power. His Malchus was totally, completely free on a high level. He did not do anything for himself, for his own gratification. Everything he did was, like the Rebbe says over here, ki im l'Hashem, was only for Hashem. And this is what it means to have the Malchus working in the right way. When everything you do is only ki im l'Hashem, only for Hashem, as opposed to using it for my own personal needs. And how do we use it only for Hashem? The Rebbe asked, and he answered that we use it to be mazhir and mechiach, those who are within my malchus, to caution and rebuke those who come under my sphere of influence. Right? And we always said, from this point onwards, don't go home and start rebuking and yelling at people. The Rebbe is going to tell us how to do this properly, because we already have a klal going back to the times of Rabbi Akiva that we don't really know how to give proper techacha, proper rebuke to people. So be careful. So we're not going to go home and do it yet. But then the Rebbe is going to start to explain to us, how do we do it? And he said that we have to draw into the Malchus Arichas Yamim. Arichas Yamim is this aspect of something. We're not sure what it is yet. But really, it's we touched on it last week. It's drawing in a much higher level of spiritual consciousness. Arichas Yamim means long days, lengthy days. Really, it means filling up your life with good things, with ruchnius, with spirituality, with the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? But it also is the same, is connected to the sphere of Keser, the highest of all the spheres of Keser, which is also called Atik Yoimin, which means ancient days. So you see, long days, late ancient days. It's also called Arich Anpin, which means a long face. So you have both of the words, Arich and Yamim, in the name of Keser. So it's really drawing down this sphere of Keser, this aspect of Arichas Yamim, into our consciousness somehow. And we said that if we don't do that, then Harabanus Mekaberes is Baaleha. Then this authority that we have, that we use, and we use it for our own gratification, we go around trying to rule over people because it makes us feel good, right? What happens then? Harabanus Mekaberes is Baaleha. Then the Rabanus, this leadership that we have, is going to bury us, right? And I think it was my friend Shmuley Fuchs, maybe, that made this diuk, that when we say Harabanus Mekaberes is Baaleha, the rulership, authority, buries those who possess it. Baaleha means that if you think that you're the master of the Malchus, you think you're the Baal, right? You're the one who's in charge, then the Malchus is going to bury you, right? This is the chilek that Shmuley mentioned, right? And in a beautiful idea, Reb Nachman Fried explained that the Malchus, the way we're understanding it, is that it's a constant flow, a constant stream of receiving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then giving out for the needs of those around me. Receiving and giving out. Receiving and giving out. This is the way that of proper Malchus. But as soon as we start to take for our own gratification, I'm no longer receiving, I'm no longer a makabel, and I'm no longer a mashpia, I'm not a giver. Rather, I'm taking something before it's due to me, when it's not meant for me. And when I do that, I stop the flow. Everything is flowing from the higher level through me to those who need it. But when I stop the flow, it starts to pile up. I stop the flow, and all that potential is sitting above me, and it buries me. Right? That's how Rabbanus Mekaberes es Baaleha. All that potential, shefa, wisdom, flow, whatever it could be, advice, is all buried above me and weighing me down. So I'm buried. I'm buried in it. And then we said that we added two levels to the Malchus now. We said that every person, depending on what their Malchus is a tzoife, is a watchman, a lookout, right? Just like you had in cities in the old days, that you'd have someone standing at the tower to look out to see if the bad guys are coming, right? They're looking out, proactively taking care of the people of the city. That means responsibility. I'm responsible for the people over here. I'm taking responsibility, right? And then the pasuk said weiter to this: Tzoyfe nesaticha lebeis Yisrael. I made you a watchman over Klal Yisrael. Vata ki yisarta Rasha v'lo yishav merisha. And you, if you warned the Rasha, if you actually went and you were mazir and mechiach, you gave them rebuke and you tried to warn them, and then they didn't listen. They didn't do tshuva. So they're going to be hu bavon yamus. He's gonna die from his sins. Vatas nafshecha itzalta. But you will save your soul, meaning you did the right thing, right? But what we see from there is that, and the opposite of it is avalimeno mazir machiach chesam. If you didn't caution and rebuke them, then the oinish is on you. That then it's your then the rabbanus mekaberes es baaleha. Then you're going to be your authority will bury you. Meaning what? You have responsibility to proactively look out to help those who are under your sphere of influence, But you also have accountability. If you don't do it, then it's on you. Right? So it's a very, it's this one can wake us up a little bit to remember that whoever I feel is under my sphere of influence, whether it's my children or my whoever, students, workers, employees, whatever it is, we have a responsibility to them to take care of our children and guide them in the right way. And if we don't do it in the right way, if we don't try, basically if we don't try, then it's on us. The Oinish is on us. Punishment is on us. And then the Rabbanus is going to bury us, right? So just remember, though, I know that this concept was a little jarring to some people who spoke to me about it afterwards, because, you know, everyone, not everyone, but some of us struggle with our kids a little bit. And our kids are not perfect in our eyes the way they should be, maybe. Right? Hashem made them perfect, but the way we see it is not like that. And a person can feel tremendous guilt, tremendous worry, and hearing this Torah can be like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing my part, so I'm going to be cut off. Like, am I not doing it? So we have to remember the really, really important understanding. We say it many times, but we'll say it quickly with a little new knetch this time, which is that I have a responsibility to be a lookout for these people. And to do what I can, to be mazir and mechiach. I still don't know what that means yet, though. We're going to find out, right? I have to make sure I'm doing what I can to guide them properly, right? But once I'm doing that, I'm trying. I care about them. I love them. And I'm doing what I can. Then everyone has to remember the outcome is not up to me. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a plan for everybody and their own free will comes into there, where they're going to go, what's going to happen to them. I have to do my part. And when I care about people, and I love them, and I want to help, I'm doing my part. Right? But what's going to happen to them, what way they're going to go exactly, it's not up to me. You know, they have a whole life to go through. You know, they're going to have ups and downs, and who knows where they're going to end up 20, 30, 40 years later. You know, I'll tell you one thing. I know for a fact that when I was a little boy of about 3 or 4 years old, my parents did not expect that I would be teaching classes in the Torah of Rabbi Nachman. You never know what's going to be, I'm telling you. The imamish never know what's going to be. So, Hashem has a plan. As long as we're doing, this is what he's saying. If you did your part, va'ata, what's the lashon? Va'ata es nafshecha hitzalta. As long as you're doing your part, you care about people, and you're trying, right? Then you saved your soul. You did what you're supposed to do, l'chaim. And you know what the other thing is they're going to be okay too. They're going to be on the path that they're supposed to be on as well. We have to remember. Okay, then we said, but how can we be mazir and merchiach them? How can we caution and rebuke them? We don't know what they need. And we had a lot of discussion about that also. What do they need as opposed to what do I think I should give them? Remember the different kinds of teachers and different kinds of parents, right? We had that talk over there. And also, the ones that are in my influence that's hidden, I don't even know where they are or who they are. So how can I, Rabbi Nachman, you're telling me that if I don't want to be buried by my own malchus, I have to be mazir and mechiach, I have to caution and rebuke those under me? How? I don't know what they need, first of all, and I don't even know who they are. I'm going to be buried. I can't do it. What's going to be? So he says, in order to do this, we have to draw in to our malchus das. Das. Das, we usually translate in different ways. We're going to talk about it in a second. Das, let's say, das can be referred to often as knowledge. Let's just say knowledge for now, and we're going to talk about it in 2 minutes. Right? So we said, we need das, knowledge, in order to know how to rebuke them. And then he said, that we get through the Arichas Yomim itself. I want everybody to note that we said Arichas Yomim be'atzmai, itself. We're going to come back to this later on. Also, we said you have to bring in Arichas Yomim, long days, into your malchus, in order to be able to rebuke them and caution them properly. And then we said, how am I going to be able to do it? I don't know how to do it. You have to have das. And then he said, das comes also from arichas yomim itself, from long days itself. It doesn't sound like it makes sense right now. So hold on to that idea that we said ba'atzmai, and we're going to get to it. Ikar ha'yediyah, this is where we have to get our bearings now. Main aspect of yediyah, das, knowledge, comes from chayim, life, from arichas yomim, from long days, length of days. Because then we said this beautiful idea, ki lavo arichas yomim hu ayedei eisek ha'Torah. In order to get to arichas yomim, to this beautiful drawing down of long days, high levels of understanding, we can only get to this through eisek ha'Torah. And we said eisek ha'Torah just doesn't mean reading a paragraph. It means Torah is my eisek. Torah is my job. It's my career. It's my everything. When I make myself a person of Torah, that's how I bring in arichas yomim. And then we said this amazing idea, and this is where we finished off last time, that the whole Torah is called a name of Hashem, or names of Hashem. The whole Torah is this. And just like when we want to call to somebody, we call Yanko, right? Lori, I'm calling to you. I call you your name, and then you recognize you and you come to me, right? You want to connect to somebody, you have to call them by their name. So too, if we want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to connect to the source, what we call the Chai HaChayim, the life of all lives, the place where the Arichas Yomim is coming from, I have to call out to him, to his name. And the Torah is his name. So when I learn Torah, and especially, specifically out loud, I'm calling to Hashem. And that's why we said, one of the reasons why it's called Kriyas HaTorah, why the same word for reading the Torah and for reading is also the word for calling. Because it's through this aspect of reading and learning Torah that the place where I learn what the word kriya means is from the Torah, right? And that aspect of reading the Torah out loud, calling, means I'm calling to Hashem. I'm calling out Hashem. It's as if I'm reading out, you know, these guys like at the airport who have the sign with the people's names on them, or like a teacher taking attendance, right? You call out the names, Sima, present, Alan, present, right? Myrna, present. You call it the names, right? You're reading it and you're calling out the name of the person. That's what the Torah, we're kriyaing, we're reading, and we're koreing, and we're calling out to Hashem at the same time. That's what we're doing. So this is what we have to do. Through Eisek HaTorah, we're calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're drawing in Arichas Yomim into us. And this is what Rabbi Nachman says is going to give us the ability to be mazir and mechiach, to caution and rebuke, or in a nicer way maybe, to lift up those people, to light up those people, like Vered said, lahazir, from the Lashon of Zohar, to light up those people who are in my sphere of influence. Okay, that was like a long time. Let's go. We're on page 294 in this book, and it starts with Va'al Kein. One second, let me just see here. Okay, before we get there, we need to talk about the word das. Das. What does das mean? What does das mean?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. We got a knowledge. Another definition, anybody?
Religion.
Religion, dat. Oh, that's without an ayin. Oh. Yeah, close. Yeah. Das, let's say knowledge. Maybe awareness. Understanding. What?
Awareness.
Awareness is a good one. Okay, awareness is a really good one. That's getting us on the right track.
Idea.
So what?
Idea, but that's with a hey instead of a
top at the end. Dea. Yeah, dea means thoughts also. Let's think about it like this. One of the things we say a lot is, you know, something I like to rant about a little bit, is what does it mean to have emunah? What does it mean? What does it mean in Breslov talk to be a person of emunah, right? So it means like this. We say, You know, I have two rants on this topic, right? The first rant is it drives me crazy when people give a shir or write a book about emunah, and the whole thing is just talking about it. It's like, what is emunah? Defining emunah, right? What is it? And here's a story about it, right? But never here's how you do emunah. Here's how you live with emunah, right? Why? Because this is what it's all about. Emunah means, like Ryankel said over here, it's an aspect of awareness. I sometimes like to add one word to that to say it's like active awareness. And living with emuna means I live my life with Hashem. And everywhere I go, Hashem is with me. So therefore, I'm constantly connected to Hashem. I'm with Hashem. Like that word emuna with Aleph, Mem, and Nun comes from the same shoresh as an artisan, like we talked about, right? An artisan is someone who has just an innate ability to paint, let's say, right? And it doesn't matter, you can't take classes to have that ability, right? You can get it maybe with years and years and years of practice or with just an inborn talent, but it's part of you, right? A painter who's a perfect painter can't go and give a class for an hour with all the details and all the color combinations and everything and expect people to be able to paint like him. No, because it's part of him. He just does it. It flows out from him because it's part of him. So too, emuna is something that is part of us. It's if it's real emuna, it means I'm living with Hashem all the time, right? I'm living with Hashem all the time because I feel it. It's part of me, like an uman, an artisan, right? It's 100% part of me. So it's real actual awareness. It's real actual existence with Hashem. Active awareness that Hashem is with me. That's what emuna is. And das is really the same thing. Das is often interchanged with the word with emuna, and they're often used together, right? Why? Because das is this idea. Also, we have, you know, these different understandings of chachma, bina, and das. That chachma is like a flash of understanding of knowledge, maybe inspiration, where in that flash you have a picture of a big picture understanding of something. And then the type of bina knowledge is the type of knowledge where you take that and then you work out the component parts and you figure it out and you build it and you do all these things together. But das is when those two things become an integrated knowledge. It becomes something that is an intrinsic part of us. That's what das means, right? Ingrained. What? Ingrained. Yeah, it becomes ingrained in us. It becomes part of us. Something very, yeah?
Did you say uman before? Like,
yeah. Yeah, it is.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Just pointing out, it's interesting that the word of uman, which is a artisan in Hebrew, Aramaic, is the uman, Rosh Hashanah, is the place where Rabbi Nachman is buried. It's very interesting. Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. So, what?
I have a question. It's close on this. It's about the difference of emuna and bitachon.
Okay, this will be my second rant. This will be my second rant. The second rant is people who make, like, I feel like it gets to being the point, it's a waste of time. Always talking about what's the difference between amun and bitachon. Who cares already? Enough. How many hours are people going to talk about? What's the fine points of emuna versus the fine points of bitachon? Who cares? Right? So I'll just tell you, in Breslov, the main understanding is that emuna is what we're saying, and bitachon is just the outcome of that. It's I live with bitachon when my emuna is intrinsic, and is ingrained and is full with me. Right? That's that. Then I act with bitachon. Right?
With the confidence of your...
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, why am I talking about this? Why am I talking about emuna? And why are we talking? Why am I ranting? What's going on over here? This is what das is, right? When we're saying over here, we want to draw in this arichas yamim. We want to draw in the highest sphere of keser, and we want to draw that spirituality, that flow of divine energy, whatever you want to call it, and we want to draw that down into our actualized existence. That is the aspect of das. When that high thing becomes something that becomes part of me in my actual life, my actual understanding, right? And so it's no joke. Everybody probably knows that we can always only have 10 spheres, right? There's always only 10 spheres. Like the Sefer HaYetzirah starts like this. It says there's 10 spheres and not 9. 10 spheres and not 11, right? You can only have 10 spheres. We never have, when we count the spheres, you know, very often, most of the time in Kabbalah, this, the order of the spheres is Keser, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gvur, and Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. That's usually the standard layout of them. Keser, Chachma, Bina, right? Those are the from the head up. However, we also know we have the concept of Chabad, not the sect or whatever you want to call it, Chabad. But we also have the Siris of Chachma, Bina, and Das. You'll note that you never have Das and Keser existing at the same time. Sorry, manifesting at the same time. Why? Because Das is actually the lower manifestation of the Sira of Keser. When the Sira of Keser manifests itself in that lower state, when it's drawn into that lower state, it comes out and is and actualizes as the Sira of Das. So really, as we're saying, Das is something that is that is part of me, that is intrinsic to me, that I live with, that I feel, that I'm aware of. It's an awareness. A constant awareness, right? And why? Because it's that high level existence of just Hashem that is now drawn and expressed in my lower self, right? This is why Das is so amazing and why it's so important. And I think another word we like to use besides understanding or knowledge is consciousness, right? It's that level of consciousness being expressed in my actual existence. Consciousness means, like from the word, to be conscious of something. I'm conscious of something, that means I know it's there. That means I'm with it, I'm living with it, I feel it, I sense it. It's part of me. So this consciousness becomes part of me. That's what Das is, to be living with the consciousness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, right? And this is the path that we're going for over here. This is what we're going for. This is gonna be the beginning of the tikkun for everything. This is important to remember. Das, awareness and consciousness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so now let's go further. We're on page 94, middle paragraph. Okay, therefore, Muzhar HaMelech al Esek HaTorah B'Yoyser Mikol Olam. Therefore, the king is cautioned to, with regards to Esek HaTorah, to learning the Torah, to making the Torah part of you, more than anyone else. Why? Machmas Shehu Tzarech Likreis Esarich HaZiyonim HaToich HaMalchus Kanal. Because the king is the actual king. He actually, the king, the Jewish king, King David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, right? They are actually the king of the whole Malchus. And they have to draw, this applies to them. They have to draw their Richas Yomim into the Malchus. But it's not just one of us who has a few people under them to influence. He's the king of the entire Klal Yisrael, right? So the king has, that's why it says, V'zeh shekosu v'parshas HaMelech. This is why it's written in the parsha in the Torah that talks about a melech, in Devarim, says v'haisa imoy. So he has to, as a king, a Jewish king, has a special mitzvah to write a special small sefer Torah. He has to write himself small sefer Torah v'haisa imoy, and he has to carry it with him everywhere he goes. The king has to always have this Torah with him. V'karaboy kol yemei chayav, and he has to read it all the days of his life. Laman. Listen to this. First of all, our eyes should be popping out at those words. The kara boy, he should call, he should read to it, he should read it, he should, or as we said, kara and to read and to call are the same word. Kol yemei, all the days of his life, all the days of his life. Chaim, he should be calling the chaim. Laman, why? For the purpose of ya'arich yomim al malachtoi, so that his days should be lengthened in his malchus. This is what we said. How do you build your malchus properly? You got to draw in arichas yomim, long days. The pasuk says by a king, carry a sefer Torah with you all the time and read it every day. Why? Kol yemei chayav. You got to bring that chayim in every day. Why? Laman ya'arich yomim, so that you should extend and lengthen your days. The Torah says that right in the Torah itself. V'zeh, and this is what it means, v'karaboy kol yemei chayav, that you should read it every day. V'karaboy daika, he says you should read it, daika. He's specifically saying that word. Why? Because not read, call. You should be calling out. Like we said, the Torah is all names of Hashem. And when you call out the names of Hashem by reading the Torah, you're drawing in, you're calling to Hashem and bringing Him close to you. You're drawing in that arichas yamim into you. Hainu, al yidei esek haTorah, hu kore es hachayim. Through your esek haTorah, through your toiling in Torah, you draw in, you're calling into yourself this aspect of chayim. You're calling life into yourself. Learning Torah is drawing life into yourself. This is important. Whew. Okay. Now we're going to take it one step further. And this is an important step also. Because, just a quick question to think about. Is there any type of Torah that you don't like learning or you find difficult to learn? Just think about that. You don't have to say it yet. Right? Okay. Let's see the next part and it's going to come up. V'zeh Yemei Chayav. So this is why it's said in the pasuk over here, Yemei Chayav. He has to read it Kol Yemei Chayav, all the days of his life. Okay, this is what that's said by the king. Yemei Chayav Daika. Specifically it says the days of his life. Why? Ki, kishemekablin esachiyus, because when a person is receiving the life force, the vitality, tzarech lekabel b'mida, a person has to receive it in measure. Ki beloy mida v'tzimtzum, iefshar lekabel esachiyus me'ashem yisbara, because without measure and constriction, it's not possible for a person to receive life force from Hashem Yisbarach. Why? Machmas ribui or, because it's too much light. Ki ribui Hashemen gorim kibui aner, because too much oil causes the candle to go out. Right? If you think, most people don't have an oil lamp nowadays anymore, right? But if you had an oil lamp that you were using to light up your house, right? And you thought, I want to make sure I have a ton of light. It's going to last me a long time. The wick is burning inside there, so you fill it up too much so that it goes over top of the wick. Ribuya shemen, too much oil causes the candle to go out.
It's even with the wax ones when they don't have enough
of the wick. It's true. Ribuya shemen, kibu aner. Alkein, tzarech lekabel hachiyus b'mida. Therefore, we have to receive this life force, this vitality, in measure, in b'mida.
So
let's talk about that right now. Tzimtzum means constriction.
Constriction?
To constrict, to narrow, to make smaller, right? So guys, we're talking about here the very fabric of the beginning of creation, really. And one of the principles of Kabbalah that is really awesome and important to know is that the big picture aspect of Kabbalah that we talk about when we're speaking about creation applies to every single individual on their own, sort of in their own microcosm of their own universe, of that individual person, right? So in the beginning of creation, I'm sure most of us have heard this before, there was only the light of the Ein Sof, only the infinite light of Hashem. Now this is very, very, very bekitzer. You know, we've been learning this on Thursday nights in a lot of depth, and the thing we learn on Thursday nights in depth, we've been learning it for hours and hours and hours, and we're like, barely scratching the surface of it yet. It's a very, very deep concept, and it's really amazing. But this is just to give us an understanding of how it relates to this Torah, because it's important. So when Hashem created everything, He was the Or Ein Sof, the absolute infinite light, and there was nothing else in existence but this infinite light, because nothing else could exist where this infinite light is there, because it takes up every space. There's no open spaces. There's no nothing. So when Hashem wanted to create the world, the creation, he made what's called a tzimtzum, where he constricted his light, contracted, constricted, and created a space. It's important to always say when we're talking about these things that we're not talking about anything physical here. This is all spiritual and conceptual. And for what that means, you have to come and learn every Thursday night, late at night, for many hours. but a space where that light does not occupy. Why? In order so that creation could take place in there. What's the main reason? Is because if the full force of the infinite light of Hashem would come into that space, everything would just be completely overtaken by the infinite nature of Hashem, and it would cease to exist. You can have no creation. So Hashem made this place where if we could say such a thing, He removed His light from there, at least to some extent. And then He began to bring that light in measure, smaller amounts, and began to create all of the whole of Kabbalah is basically what happened from that point and onward. He began creating first the world of Adam Kadmon, and then the world of Atzilus, and then Bria, and Yetzirah, and Asiya, down all the way through all the levels until we get to us here. And at every stage of those games, of those levels, stage of the game, every stage of those levels, the light becomes more, the light of Hashem becomes more and more limited and constricted. Why? It's a chesed, in order so that us at the very lowest level are able to receive that light. Because if the light was too powerful, if we just were to receive the light of Olam of Yetzirah or Bria, right in our faces right now, we would be vaporized. Certainly, the light of the higher universes of Atzilus and Ak and Kal V'Chomer, of all Kal V'Chomers ever, the Or Ein Sof. If that was to come to us, we would just be gone. We would not exist anymore. Why? It's called the Ribui Or. It's too much light. It's too much for me. I can't take it. It's not good for me. The Rabbi Nachman is telling us that there's such a thing, that too much light, even from the Ribbono Shel Olam, is not good for me. So I have to be able to receive it, to accept it, to get it in midah, b'midah, in measure. So what does that have to do with what we say? He's explaining right now, Zeh Yemei Chayav, the days of his life. What does it have to do with what we're talking about? Zeh Zoichin Ayidei Eisa Katara. This is how, you know what, before we get there, one more explanation. So he says the days of our lives. The days of our lives, right? Not the talk show, right?
Soap opera.
Yeah. Oh yeah, soap opera. Is it still around? It's been on for like 50 years. Okay, anyway, I digress. But Yemei Chayav, why is it the days of my life? So this is a beautiful concept also, a very awesome concept. But one of the things that creates separation and separate measures in the world, of course, is time, right? It's not just amount of light or space, but time does this. And pre-creation, or even at some points in creation, I don't know exactly when, but there's no such thing as time, and it doesn't exist. And it's impossible for us to really understand this, to really understand it. There's no before, there's no after. There's no present, even. Or something like everything is present, maybe. But it's so time, what does time do? Time somehow takes existence and marks it off into separate midos, separate measures. So every single day is a separate measure, is a separate midah. It's one day. You ever have a bad day? A really bad day where you're a wreck by the end of it? Maybe you're in tears. Maybe you're super angry and frustrated. Whatever the story is, it was a bad day. Baruch Hashem, we have the midah of a day. And we can say, I'm going to go to sleep. What a chesed from Hashem. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to wake up and tomorrow is another day. It's a new midah, a new measure. Right? So Kol Yemei Chayav is this idea. Yamim, days, are an aspect of midah. And we can't, just like we can't receive everything from Hashem, we can't receive it all at once. We have to take it in this way of midas. That's why he's using the word yamim to tell us midah. And this is what we merit through Eisa Ketorah, through toiling in the Torah. Ki HaTorah, hi shmoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we said, the Torah is the name of Hashem. Is that where we are right now? Yeah. Vashem hu hakli shel davar. And the name of something is its vessel. The name of the thing is its vessel. Shebashem hazeh nigbal hanefesh ve'achius shel hadavar hazeh. Because it's because of this name that the thing has, that it is now, its nefesh, its soul, and its life force is limited and boxed in based on this name. Just like every single Jew has a name. Why? Because if their soul was not bound by a name, it would be too powerful. It would be so much fire, so much light in just the soul of a Jew, that it would be crossing all the borders also. So every Jew has a name, and the name takes that person and says, this person is now in a tzimtzum, is defined, is in a vessel. The person is, the soul is in a vessel, right? So every one of us has a name, and in a certain way, that's our vessel. That's the keli, the vessel that holds our essence into us. So too, the Torah, like we said, is the name of Hashem, and it's through the vessel of the Torah that we're able to experience, to have this connection to Hashem. Kamo shekasuv, like the pasuk says in Bereishis, nefesh chaya hu shmoi. The soul of a thing is its name. Shebe Hashem Nigbal Hanefesh Ve'Achil Shel Kol Davar, because it's through the name that the soul and the life force of everything is bordered, is enclosed, encapsulated. Valkein Kishakorin Esa Adam B'Shmoy. Therefore, when you call a person by their name, Hu Mezumon Teichaf Etzlay, they come to you. They're with you. They're there with you. Machmas Shehav Hashem Nigbal Kol Nefesh Ve'Achil Shel, because it's with the name that they are defined, that they are encapsulated within, their whole soul and their whole life force is encapsulated in that. V'chein, so too with all the animals, by the way. When Adam HaRishon had to name all the animals, he was seeing that based on what this animal is, that's how he was able to give them the name that was their correct name. Right? Because he was able to say, oh, I can see how this thing is mitzumtzum. Is the light is constricted and whatever it's coming down to form this thing, its vessel is cow, right? Its vessel is whatever, sus, whatever the animals were, right? Keves, whatever the, right? This is its vessel. And this is what we're saying over here about every person and about the Torah. It's also why, by the way, why everybody knows, we always love to say this, that when parents pick a name for their children, The Jewish understanding is that when a parent picks a name for their child, they have an aspect of prophecy. Right? They have an aspect of prophecy. So it's always a nice idea, and we always love hearing that. It sounds really cool, right? And parents are like, yeah, it's very exciting that I had that prophecy. That's who he is. And very often, I know I see this very, very clearly with many, many, many people. You can see in a person their name, like very, very clearly, very often, right? Like the attributes of that name in the person. But okay, it's a nice idea. But who cares? Like, why does it have to be that way? Why doesn't Hashem just give the name? Or why can't I just pick a name? And it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's you know why? Because the Hebrew name of a person is their essence. So we can't just choose it. We can't just make it up and be like, oh, you know what? I really like the name Jennifer. Or Stephen, right? So I'm going to use that for this kid. It can't be that way. Why? Because that's not their essence. So you have to have, and we don't have the ability to understand what the essence of this soul is, because we're not, you know, we're not tzaddikim or mukubalim or malachim or HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem has to implant within us the name. That's why we have prophecy, because the name is the thing. When a person gets a name, that's who they are. Yeah. Yeah.
Because of
certain situations. Yeah. So how does that play into this? Right. Even more so, right? So why is it, Verd's making a very good point. Why is it also that when someone gets very sick, they get a name added to their name, right? What's pshat? Right? This is actually exactly one of the things we're talking about over here. Because when they see that this person is like going downhill and nothing's working, nothing's changing, right? So they give a name to change the essence of the person. It's like this person has a gezeira on them. They have a din on them, and it's not looking good. So we're gonna add a name to this person to give them a new existence. Maybe this new person doesn't have that same gezeira on them, is one of the ideas. A decree against them, right? So I'd like to, if you don't mind, guys, keep the questions to the end, because you know, we're recording, and let's keep the flow. We have lots of time for questions at the end. So v'chein haTorah, hu shmoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, haynu shesham nigbal hachius mechaya chayim. In the Torah, the vitality and life force of the life of all lives is contained within it, is encapsulated in it. Ki haTorah hi b'chinas midos, because the Torah itself is midos, is measures. How do you see? Ki yesh b'haTorah oisios, v'tevois, u'psukim, u'parshios, u'sedarim. Because the Torah is made up of different letters, different words, different psukim, verses, different parshas, different siddurim, different chumashim, right? The whole Torah. Do you ever think about this? It's very interesting. Why do we have it like this? The whole we connect to the Torah in a very defined way of midas. We read a different parsha every week, right? And if you read it every day, we read one of those parshas every single day. So by the end of the week, you read all seven parshas. Like we actually relate to the Torah specifically daily in a way of measures and midas. It's broken up like this. Because why? Shebehem nigbal achius b'mida. That's where the life force vitality of Hashem is put in measure. Therefore, through the Torah, which is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shubachinas Midos, which is also an aspect of Midos, of measures, Yecholin Lekabel Esachios. Therefore, we're able to receive the Chios. We're able to receive that life force. Because if it was just the whole life force coming from Hashem, all in one shot, it would knock us off our feet. It would vaporize us. Rather, Hashem said, you know what? I've got a Torah for you. And it's all Midos. It's all smaller measures. And you can read a little bit here, a little bit this day, a little bit the next day, a little bit the next day. And through that, through just engaging in the Torah on a regular basis, you're going to draw in the right amount of light every time. The right amount of chius, of life force from Hashem every time. V'yedei Torah, kari nesachayim. And it's through Torah that we call out to life. Mamshichin esachius l'toich hamidos. And we draw that life force into these different measures. Shem bechinas yomim. Which is the aspect of yomim, of days, like we said. Days are separate measures, right? How do we see that? How do we see that the Torah is connected to days and measures? So he brings a pasuk from Tehillim here to show us that this is how we understand the Torah. Pasuk in Tehillim says, "Umidas yomai mahi," and the measure of my days, what is it? Right? So the simple understanding of this pasuk is without the drasha, is that David HaMelech is asking, how long will my life be? Midas yamai mahi. What's going to be the measure of my days? What is the measure of my days? Right? But on a different level, Hainu sheha Torah hi b'chinas ma, but the midas yamai, the measures of my days, is ma. Is another way to read that pasuk, is ma. What does ma mean? What does the word ma mean? What's it a hint to? Hainu sheha Torah shehi b'chinas ma, the Torah, which is also called Ma. How do we see that? Another pasuk from Devarim, Kamosh Kasuv, Ma ha'edus v'achukim v'amishpatim. Ma, the word Ma, which is, we're saying now is referring to the Torah, is what? Is the statutes and principles and laws of the Torah. It's called Ma. So midas yamai mahi means the measure of my days is the Torah. The Torah is the measure of my days, of my life. Hi b'chinas midas v'yamim. And it's through Torah that we draw into ourselves the midos, measures and days. We draw the life force, vitality into the measures and days. Because if we didn't have this, we wouldn't be able to experience and to receive this chius, this life force. Why? Because of ribui or, it's too much light, too much oil. This is why the pasuk said about the king now, that he should read it or call to it, kol yemei chayav. How do we understand that now? Shal yedei haTorah. It's through the Torah, kore es achius, that we call, that's v'karaboy, chayav, l'toy chayamim, so kol yemei chayav, kara, kol yemei chayav. He calls out in all of those measures, which are called yamim, yamav, the chayim. That's how he draws it in. Hayamim v'amidas. Right. So I hinted to something that I want to mention, which is important, and it's a bit of a side point, but it's also connected to this. But so there's sometimes certain types of Torah that a person learns, maybe in a certain way they're not ready for it yet. You ever hear such a thing? You ever hear this thing where they say that you shouldn't learn Kabbalah until you're in a certain frame of mind, a certain age, a certain level of knowledge? There's different rules, right? Which is another discussion. But, you know, it's a real thing. And it's a real thing because sometimes people start learning this type of Torah and it knocks them out. It makes them wacko. And it can really be problematic. It really, really, really can happen. Why? Because it's a ribui or. It's too much light. I'll never forget hearing, I can't remember who it was, one of the Breslov Mashpiyim was talking about how you might think, what do you think happens in a Breslov Yeshiva? Right? You might think that in the Breslov Yeshiva, everybody's sitting with the Likutei Moran all day. Lakuti Moran, Lakuti Halachas, and that's what they do in the Mezav Yeshiva. They just learn this. But it's not true. They learn Lakuti Moran, a very tiny, tiny portion of the day. And the rest of the time, they learn Chumash, and they learn Gemara, and they learn Halacha like a normal yeshiva. But it's not normal. But like a normal yeshiva. Right? Why? Because you can't learn Lakuti Moran all day, every day. It's too much light. Ribui Or, it's too much. You have to space it out. You have to, you know, sometimes we learn something in the Torah of Lakuti Moran and it's too much. Sometimes it's so much that you just can't take it, in the amazingness of it. Right? There's a lot of aspects over here, but you see, such a thing exists. That it can be dangerous. And also, but on the other hand, you know, I feel like there's a connection over here. I'm saying this for myself. This is not written in the book over here anywhere. Neither is what I just said, but you know, you can also do the same thing by if you remember when we learned the story of our lives, which was the Lost Princess book by Rabbi Yaakov Klein. So we had a whole section over there and brought many, many different quotes from big Rabbanim, one special one from Rav Kook in particular, but talking about how not everybody is meant to learn the same Torah. And there's a statement in the Gemara that says, La'olam yilmad adam b'makom shelibo chafetz ba, that a person should learn in the place that his heart desires to learn. And you know, one of the hard truths in the world that people still don't want to accept is that not everybody is cut, like, you know, in every yeshiva in the world, basically, the boys learn Gemara for morning, afternoon, and a little bit in the evening. And then, if they're lucky, they have a little bit of time for some other types of Torah. But in almost every yeshiva in the world, they learn Gemara for most of the day, morning to night. And, you know, so for some boys, they're not really cut out for it. And they're certainly not cut out to do it for many, many years and their whole life. Okay, people will get mad at me for this, right? And you have to be careful. And really, a person can learn, can become more accustomed. And also, a person can daven. If they really want to learn Gemara and be connected to it, you can daven that the Ron Shalom should help you. And you can put in the effort, and you can change things. You can do this, right? However, there comes a point where trying to stuff a person into a box of learning that they don't fit into, what happens when you stuff something into a box that it doesn't fit into? You break them. They get broken, and they get destroyed, and they get sent away from their families, and they get sent away from the community, and it doesn't go good, right? It's a similar idea of just trying to put a certain ore onto a person that they're not ready for. It's gonna instead of lighting the person up, it shatters their vessels. The famous Kabbalistic concept of Shiras HaKelim, of the shattering of the vessels, was this exact concept of Ribui Or, too much ore. Each one of the Siras wanted to take all of the light. And there was one in the beginning of creation, Kabbalistically, there was only one channel. And all of the Siras were one after the other. And so all the light came into the first one of those Siras. And that Sfira said in the Lashon of Kabbalah is Ana Emloch, I will be the king. Oh my gosh, that's a big chiddush over here I just thought about. Ana Emloch, I will rule. And it would take all of the light, and what happened? Ribui Or, Shiras HaKelim. The vessels broke. The next Sfira said, Ana Emloch, I'm gonna be the king, and it tried to take all the light, and Ribui Or, Shiras HaKelim. Right? It doesn't work. We can't do it. So, anyway, so we have Rabbi Nachman's telling us, we have letters, words, psukim, parshas, sedarim, and he did not say this. This is only me, so don't blame Rabbi Nachman. Right? I'm saying, and we have Gemara and Halacha and Chumash and Chassidus and Musar and Kabbalah and Nach and, you know, and Agarata. We have all these different things, and they're all aspects of Torah and different midas that are going to work at different times. And other times, it will be Ribui Or, and it'll distinguish the light of a person. Okay, I hope I don't get into much trouble for that one. Nimtza comes out, bottom of page 298. Al yedei esek haTorah mamshichin arichas yamim. Through toiling in Torah, we draw in arichas yamim. Ve'oz zoichel das, and then we merit to have das. Ki hadas ve'haseichel hu ba'atzmoi hachius, because it's the das and the seichel. This intrinsic knowledge, consciousness, that we talked about, and seichel, intellect, is itself the chius, the life force. So, it's not just about the amount of protein that you eat, that you have in your protein shake, right? But life force and vitality comes from das and seichel. How do we see this? Like the pasuk says in Koheles, we say this pasuk a lot. It's in a few Torahs in the Likutei Moran. Ve'achochma techaya es baleha. Chochma, wisdom, gives life to those who possess it. This is the giver of life. Chochma is the giver of life. This is in Torah Aleph also, by the way. Ki haseichel hu ikar achius, because the seichel is the main aspect of chius, of life of a person. Right? I just thought of this. It's kind of a funny connection. It's not. I'm not saying anything necessarily real here. But one of the ways that we detect whether a person nowadays in modern medicine, if a person, there's a lot of halachic issues over here, but if a person's alive or not, is by their brain function. Right? There's such a thing called brain dead, where there it's a whole issue. It's something very serious. But what? Seichel, chokhma is life. Seichel and das is life. And it's through this das, here we go. This is it. You hear this, guys? It's through this das, through this awareness and consciousness that we're going to develop, that we're able to draw people near, and to rebuke those who need rebuke. It's not going to happen because I'm angry. It's not going to happen because of my past experiences. It's this drawing in, this intense, intrinsic, experienced consciousness of Hashem that is going to allow me to be able to be to give teichacha. Right? So we might think, okay, I feel like I'm calm. I can give teichacha to this person who needs it. The only way we can give teichacha is if we know that we're totally imbued with Hashem. Right? And he's going to tell us now, it's still not what you think. We still don't know. You still don't go and tell them what's wrong with them. You're still not going to go and tell them, hey, what are you doing? You're doing it wrong. You're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. Right? It's still not it. What's it going to be? We still don't know. We still don't know. Let's see. Yeah, you know what? It's 57 minutes. I think we're going to stop there because the next section is where we're starting a new concept, which is an amazing, amazing, amazing concept. And it's gonna take us even farther. We're gonna start to talk about by Lag BaOmer, we had the Kumzitz outside, which was mamish very, very fantastic. And one of the songs that we sang over there was the famous song by Rabbi Yosef Karduner, which is a quote from the next paragraph that we're gonna learn over here, which is the words are Afilu behastara shebesoich hastara, even in a concealment, within a concealment. Bevadai gam sham nimsa Hashem yisbarach. For sure, even in that place, we can find Hashem. This is the next place the Torah is going to take us. When we feel like we're in a concealment, when we feel like Hashem is totally hidden from us. Right? Not only that, when we're so far away that even the fact that Hashem is hidden from us is hidden from us. We don't even realize that we don't have Hashem. We're so far away, we're so messed up. Rabbi Nachman tells us, even in that place, not even in that place, for sure in that place, you're going to find Hashem there. That's going to be the next step. And we're going to see how all these things begin to come more and more together. Shkoyach, guys. Any comments? You had something to say, Ellie? Do you remember?
Before.
Yeah.
I thought somebody once told me a very simple way to understand
Emunah and Bitachon.
Emunah versus Bitachon.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's so clever. And I'm pretty sure I got it right, but I wanted to run it by you.
Let's hear.
Because you're either going to say, yeah, that's perfect, or you'll tell me what I got wrong.
Okay.
So somebody told me that the difference between Emunah and Bitachon is as follows, that somebody's standing by the Niagara Falls and there's a tightrope across it.
Yeah.
And he sees somebody come out with a unicycle. And he's going to put the unicycle on the rope, and the guy putting the unicycle on the rope says, I'm going to ride this unicycle across the thing and back. Do you think I could do it? So the guy says, yeah. Because he figures, like, otherwise, why would he do this, right? And so he goes and he does and he comes back. And he says, now you get on my shoulders and we're going to go across.
That's a good one. Did everybody hear that? Could you hear that online? Yeah, that's a good one. That's one way of saying it. Yeah, that's one way of saying
that.
That actually fits better a little bit with what we said over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I like. Meaning that Emuna is like, yeah, okay, I believe Hashem's with me, 100%. But when I actually go and when I live it, and I go and I do it, and I walk onto that tightrope, it's happening. I'm living. It's the outcome of my. The only difference is that I would say that the guy in the first place didn't even really have emuna, until he would get to that place also. But I hear, that's one way of understanding it. Very good, Ellie. Yeah, very good.
And I'm repeating something someone told me.
Yeah, yeah. There's also a famous thing that people like to talk about, which is the thing. And we're talking about the thing that I hate that we talk about, but there's a certain definition of the Chazon Ish of Bitachon. There's a separate definition, comes from, I think, the Friedrich Rebbe of Lubavitch in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, which is what the Chassidish version of Bitachon is. And honestly, I don't have time for any of this. I just go be have a Muna, live with Bitachon. Everybody, let's go. Let's do it. Sima, you have something to say?
This, first of all, is a great share.
Thank you.
I'm going to go on like a kind of a mundane kind of thing.
Okay.
That you have to be so careful with our words, with what we say, with how we name things. I read an article, or somebody read an article to me. A doctor who had a girl that came to him, and she was eating and throwing up. She had bulimia.
Yeah.
But it didn't have a name. It never had a name. And so this doctor, this was like 30 years ago, the doctor gave it a name and wrote an article about it. And all of a sudden, all these doctors were coming up with these people that had bulimia. It never existed before.
Yeah.
They gave it a name. It gave it a chias.
Wow. I hear. Okay. There's a lot of that going on in the world right now.
Right. COVID. How did they call it a pandemic? Before it even was, it was just new. Why did they call it a pandemic? Once you put that, they gave it a name. It gave it a chias of its own.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody noticed, but there's suddenly an understandable number of different genders in the world,
right?
That didn't exist before, and now that they exist,
gave it a name.
There's all these things happening, and different people are claiming it, and with all these things,
there's only two genders.
There's all kinds of crazy things like this. But I hear what you're saying, Sima. Yeah, absolutely.
So in our daily life, we have to be careful how we name things, name our children.
Oh yeah.
Like, not name, give them names, but like, oh, you're so wild. Or you're so, why are you so reticent? Or why, like, once we give it, I remember one of my kids saying, you think I'm lazy? Now you're going to see me be lazy.
I think it's okay to say, why are you so reticent? Because then the kids won't know what it means. Because I don't really know what it means. But just kidding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lazy? Okay, I am lazy now.
I heard something. I saw something actually reminding me that Reb Chaim brought down over here in this about he said that he brought down from Reb Nosson. Reb Nosson said that one of the things that we can learn from this is the importance of not using Hashem's name in vain, not saying Hashem's name when it's not in the right time. Why? Because we're saying that Hashem's name is it brings down powerful energy, right? So when you say Hashem's name and it's part of a pasuk in the Torah, like when you're supposed to say it, right, then it's in midah, it's in measure like this. But if you just spout off Hashem's name without binding it into that aspect of the Torah, into a pasuk, into a measure,
or a blessing,
then a blessing, then you could be drawing ribui or too much light in. And if you're in that state where you're saying, you know, like people, there's especially in academia, they love to think that they're pronouncing Hashem's name properly and say it like you're drawing on bad mojo. Right, too much light that will burn you instead of drawing it in the right measure. This is what he said in the name of Reb Nosson. Also, a very interesting idea. Also, anyone else got anything? No.
Great class.
All right, guys, thank you very much. Everybody have a fantastic week, fantastic Shabbos, and we'll see you in Mitzvah Hashem next week.
Thank you.
All zeigesind, all the best.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sitting in your pen.